to do when you just can't get over it, or can't just get over it. Today, we're going to kind of tie it all together, coming alongside someone that you can recognize has something going on in their life. Doesn't matter what it is. Becoming an encourager to someone who is caught up in whatever. It really doesn't matter what it is. Coming alongside. We went ahead and had long discipleship classes. Most of you have been through at least one of them in recent, maybe in the last year. Maybe you've even taught one in the last year or so. This is actually what in discipleship is. It's coming alongside someone that needs to come closer to the Lord. Now, that's everybody. I need to get closer to the Lord. Everybody needs to get closer to the Lord. Chapter 2. We're going to read really the first 16 verses, which are actually the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Crucified Lord. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto them, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. And we've looked at quite a few different topics, different issues people may have that they just have trouble getting over. Keep rehearsing over and over in your mind and in your life that you're done with it today, but tomorrow it's right back there and you're facing it again. It's another battle, the same battle you fought yesterday, and you're defeated today just like you were defeated yesterday. Just like you were defeated the week before and the year before. That is not the way a Christian ought to live. That's not the way I would want anyone to live. Someone has a problem. You see yourself as the problem. Say, well, this can't be. I'm not certain really that I'm qualified, at least in men's eyes, to be teaching or explaining anything about how to be an encourager. I'm not really good at it. And that has nothing to do with it. The Lord puts it into you. I don't have the wisdom to do what the Lord wants me to do. I don't have it. The Word of God clearly tells me you don't have it. I want you to do something that you can't do. Now, if a boss comes to me and says, you can't do it, good luck. You know what am I supposed to do now? You already told me. You want me to do it. If I don't do it, I'm fired, and you know I can't do it. So in other words, I'm fired. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. If I'm going to be able to encourage someone, or even encourage myself, David encouraged himself. If I'm going to encourage someone, that I get wisdom from someplace other than me, it has to be wisdom from the Lord. It has to be that the next thing that I think is not what I think, it's what the Lord thinks. It has to be that the next thing that I choose to do is not the thing that is just natural for me to do, but rather it's the thing that the Lord led me to do. The Lord showed me, do this. The Lord said, think this way. Don't think this way. The whole book of the Bible, whole chapters of the Bible said, don't think about this, think about this. Don't think this way, think this way. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And we can, that's a whole lesson in itself. We don't have time to go through all that. We often hear when we're speaking with either ourselves or with someone who just really can't get over a problem, true, we make unwise decisions every day. And a person that's, well, last week we talked about addiction. A person that's addicted makes an unwise decision every time they do whatever it is. That's not wise. What you're doing is not smart. That's not the smartest way to do it. That's not the best way to do it. You should be doing it different. You know it. They know it. God knows it. Everyone knows it. And we choose to go that way anyway. It's not wise. But the child of God has the power to stop making unwise decisions. Stop. They know they're not supposed to go. The Holy Spirit's been put inside of you to give you the power to do that. Now, Solomon is noted for his wisdom. Given wisdom and knowledge as well as power and riches beyond what any other person ever had or is going to have. Smartest man in the world, you could call him. He started out, he opened the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word, receive the instruction of wisdom, justice. That's how he starts out. Solomon's message, Solomon's instruction to everyone is get wisdom. And where do we get wisdom? There's only one place I know of to get it. It's from the Word of God. There's no other place. Otherwise, it's man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians, here we just read that we can't act in our own wisdom. We're going to fall on our face if we act in wisdom. Something which I was kind of amazed at. I hadn't seen it till just this time that I read it in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is Paul. Paul, the one that stood up and said, go ahead and stone me if you want, but I'm going to say what I need to say. Paul, now do you ever think of Paul as meek, lowly, afraid to preach? What does that say? When he stood up before Christians to speak, he was trembling. He was in weakness. He was in fear. Why was that? He was afraid he was going to say something that he, because he was a smart guy. He was afraid he was going to say, well, this is how I would do it. And I can, you give me a problem, I can give you an answer. No problem, just whatever it is, I'll give you an answer. Probably be wrong, but I will give you an answer for it. A solution for it. That's the kind of person I am. I 16 people around there not knowing what to do, I said, well, just do this. And you end up with a mess, but that's what Paul was afraid of. Paul knew that if he answered in his wisdom, if he brought the message in his power, if he brought the ideas that he was thinking of, the message in his power, in his wisdom, in his knowledge base, that it was going to be a wrong message. It wasn't going to be the message that the Holy Spirit gave him. He had to be terribly, he was said he was afraid. Paul stood up and said, I'm afraid that I'm going to preach wrong. A couple things that an encourager needs to be. This one's pretty simple. An encourager, if you're going to be an encourager, you have to be a Christian, first of all. If you're not a Christian, how could you possibly take the Word of God, the experience of the Word of God, to someone else saying, this will work? In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. You know, if I'm going to be help someone with answers, get directions for their life, the Lord, I have to know the Lord. If I don't know the Lord, I can't get help from Him. I can't say, look at the Lord, we'll do this for you. I don't know what the Lord will do with for you if I've never experienced that. You know, I have some degree, we own a Hyundai Sonata. Several people around here do. I have some degree of knowledge in buying it, maintaining it, driving it, and with you a little bit about that car. Before we bought it, we asked a few people, did some research on it to see, well, what kind of car is this? How big is it? You know, how all those things that you do. And I could speak with you honestly about how that, you know, I can't be an engineering thing about it. Don't know anything about that. But I can tell you what my experience is with that car. Now, I've never owned a BMW. I don't want to own a BMW. Couldn't afford to own a BMW. Go to that level. The BMW dealership, so I've seen them. I've seen them drive down the road. And I've seen them actually on commercials on television saying, you ought to have this car. It's the best car in the world. But if I had to speak to you about the benefits of owning a BMW, don't have one clue. No clue. I suppose you can get from here to there with it. And it's pretty looking, maybe. I don't know. Some people like the old person's style. I just don't know anything about BMWs, and that's fine. If I'm going to be an encourager, I have to know what I'm talking about. I have to have experienced that. If I'm going to tell you about a BMW, I have to go get a BMW, drive it, take it to the repair shop and have them $100 to change the tire, however much it could cost that much, so I hear. You have to have personal knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is if you're going to be able to encourage someone. Last week, and I think the week before, we dealt, kind of ended up saying, you know, there is nothing else but to introduce the person to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's got a problem, it doesn't matter if they're saved or not. The point, Jesus can take care of that. He paid for that problem. He did everything that he needed to. He said he would take care of the problem. You have to know him. You have to be able to point out if you're not living a Christian life, if you're not getting into the Word, if you're not spending the time with him that you need to, you don't have it. You do not have it. If 15 years from now, let's see, I owned a Chevy Nova when they first came out back in 1973, 72, 75. It was the junkiest car, brand new, junkiest car I have ever owned. I have not bought a Chevrolet since because of that car. That's my experience with it. It doesn't work. So if you, as a Christian, decide, well, I can do this on my own. You've said Christianity doesn't work. I don't know anything about it. Go ahead and try and explain that to someone else. Well, you, I'm not bothering with him right now, but he can hear you. That work, wouldn't it? I don't know what I'm doing with that, but you know, you go see if it'll work for you. It probably didn't work for me because he owned that Nova. Within 6 months, the tail lights fell out. They rusted out and fell out. Brand new. Chevy didn't do a blooming thing about it. Said, well, that's normal wear and tear. status of your Christianity, are you going to recommend Chevy Novas? I don't recommend BMWs because I don't know anything about them. I don't like Chevrolet Novas. It's a good thing it wasn't Ford, wasn't it? Yeah. Wesley would be up here. An encourager needs to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ they're pointed to be able to point him out. Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament. He wrote a lot about relationships, Ephesians, and about how families get together, how different people should work together, all kinds of things like that. He probably 90% of the doctrine in the New Testament. The doctrine that we follow, the doctrine that we build our church upon. We have a New Testament independent Baptist church because Paul wrote and said, this is how you have an independent New Testament Baptist church. Paul continually said, if you want, it very easily could be stated that his life comes down to, if you want to live a Christian life, how to do it. Take this step and then this step. And Paul did that. And in 1 Corinthians 2:2, if your Bible's still open, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I don't want to talk about any of those other things. I want to talk about this. And the next verse he says, and I'm afraid to talk about it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Last verse in chapter 2, verse 16, at the end of the verse, but we have the mind of Christ. To be an encourager, you have to have the mind of Christ. You have to have spent time with him. You have to have experienced with him. You have to really make yourself. It didn't happen by accident. Doesn't happen that just all of a sudden you know him. Now salvation comes in an instant, but actually knowing who is this person, that takes some time. That takes some education that the Holy Spirit puts into you. We could have a whole study in is this one chapter that we read, getting the mind of Christ, comparing God's wisdom with the wisdom of the world, comparing it with our own wisdom. If I'm encouraging someone to take a step of faith, to choose a path, I simply must have the mind of Christ as my focal point. With the mind of Christ as our focus, we can have confidence knowing that what we are telling them actually will work. If I was to tell you, if you go, when we first got our car, the dash lights up and down. I couldn't figure out how to do it, and it was too bright or it was too dark. I forget what it was. Now, we happen to know someone that has a car just like ours. Miss Amy has one just like ours. Or Pastor, whoever. I don't know who owns the car, but they both drive it. And so what did I do? I called her. And she said, well, all you do is... No, actually, I called Pastor, and he said, I haven't got a clue. Honestly. But she said, ask Amy. So we called Amy. Amy said, well, it's simple. You turn that little dial there and it goes. How did she know that? Because she has experience with that. When a person comes to a point where how do you know that? Well, find somebody that knows it, that did that. Why do we have troubles in our life? Because now you've had trouble when someone comes and says, I've got trouble. So I know what to do with that. I know what the answer is with that. And they say, how do you know? Well, you can't possibly know what I'm feeling. Yeah, I do know what you're feeling. You can't know what I'm. Yeah, I do know. In several. I went up to you and asked you a question about anything that you had some problems. I'd be able to trust what you said because I have watched the Lord work in your life. I've watched the Lord work in your life. That person that you come across, or it could be your mate, it could be your neighbor, could be yourself. I have watched the Lord work. And now if I go to them and say, what about this? I can trust what they say because the Lord worked in their life. God did that. There's no way it could have happened any other way. Solomon said in Proverbs 4, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It must be his wisdom that we get. Now, last thing. Well, you can be confident that pointing someone to Lord Jesus Christ is the answer if you know that that's the answer. Miss Amy was confident. She said, reach your hand up there and turn that dial. Paul said, do this and this will happen. You can be confident that when you look to the Word of God says, do this, and you say to someone else, if you go to the Word of God, if you go to God and claim that as a promise, it says right here that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to, is that, if they call on the Lord, are they going to be saved? Do we have to wonder about that? How do you know that? Because I did that. And how do you know? Because the Holy Spirit came in just as it said, he said he would. And how do I know that? Because every time I try to do something which I know he doesn't want me to do, something's tapping me on the shoulder and said, don't do that. And I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And he said, no, you're not. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. And he said, no, you really, really are not. And how far are you going to go with that? You can be confident pointing someone to the Lord Jesus. Not only is the solution, but they have seen it work in you. You can be confident, just stand there and say, I know this works. I know if you ask the Lord, he's going to do it. People have financial problems all the time. Is it a stretch of the imagination or a stretch of scripture to say, well, if you will honor God with your income, that he is going to take care of that for you? Is that any stretch at all? How do you know that? Because how do you know that? It works. Have you ever tried to get by without it? Don't answer that one. Because that works too. Every time that we follow the Word of God, it works. Every time we follow the Word of God, it works. The last thing, you must realize that not everybody is going to respond. Some people, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you say. They'll be good to your best buddy friends, and you try to share some word of God with them, and it goes nowhere. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? It's beyond my thinking that someone could follow the Lord Jesus Christ himself, watching the miracles, watching people raised from the dead, watching people healed, and all the things. And that's just the things we know about that happened. He watched things, and 2.5 years he followed them and never did get saved. I don't know how that happens. But I know it happened. It happened here. When you share the word of God with somebody and nothing happens, Lord Jesus shared and nothing happened. So don't be discouraged. Don't be. Nothing you can do about it. Share the word of God. What do you do when a person is addicted to heroin? You should give them the Word of God. What if they rob service stations every night and you find out it? What do you do? Give them the Word of God. Is their greatest no is to get saved. If they get saved, are they going to go and rob service stations? The greatest need, several years ago with Bill off to the abortion clinic. What is that girl's greatest need? Is to get with the Lord, have the Lord as their Savior, get to the Lord. And this is what God says. That is their greatest need. Nothing else is going to make any difference if they don't get saved, if they don't have the Lord as their Savior. But not everybody that receives you speak with or you work with is going to receive it. It's just that's the way it is. When I was 23, when I was saved, born and raised a Catholic, went to Mass every Sunday. After a while, we didn't go to Mass because got married, left, didn't have to, you know. We still were Catholic, protected. Now, this is important, protected from the truth by doctrine. Protected from the truth by doctrine. That's what the Pharisees did. All these rules and doctrine and things that do this and do this, rule after rule after rule. When you put money in the offering, you have and this coin and then this coin. If you put them in any other order, it was not a sacrifice at all. Ridiculous. Look, when you open your envelope, you know, your offering envelope, make sure all the ones are in front and all the fives are next. And I saw Trish count all her money here before. So that's what. And then the 20s are in the back and the hundreds, you know, whatever you put in the offering envelope. But if they're in any other order, don't bother putting it in. That would be the Pharisees. The doctrine of every religion which doesn't say the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. Doesn't matter what the person needs, I needed the Word of God. And it was only after someone repeatedly gave me verses, I didn't even know what he was talking about. 23 and never heard a real gospel message. Went by churches and heard hymns, heard the church bells. I was 24 before I realized those are hymns. The church, I just thought they were bells. Had no idea. Hidden truth by doctrine. Give them the Word of God. You just give them the Word of God. Live like you believe the Word of God. That's important. Not just give them the Word of God. Anybody can spout off verses. My mind goes back to a young man in our school back a long time ago. He could spout off more verses than there are in the Bible, I think. He could. He could just, you know, quote whole chapters of the Bible. It was as evil as you could be. Was never nice to anybody. Was always trying to trick people. He could spout off verses, but presence of the Holy Spirit in him, whatever. 1 Peter 3:1 talks about how a wife can win her husband, and it very specifically says, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife because she lived the Word of God. What does living the Word of God mean? When you recognize I have to have opened the Word of God. I had to have read it. Not only have I read it, I have. And if I don't understand what it says, I need to find somebody. Explain this to me. The Ethiopian in the middle of the desert opened the Word of God and was reading it, had no idea what it said, what it meant. And out of nowhere, this crazy guy comes running across. And Philip said, this is what it means. If you don't know what that means, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, well, find somebody that does. Find somebody to explain it. Being an encourager is our entire purpose as a Christian. Being someone that comes alongside someone else and saying, you could become closer to the Lord. Just being an encourager does not mean you can only deal with people that are lost. It means when someone has anything going on, say, I could just be your friend. I am your friend, and you've all said it. I'm here for you. What is that? If when people say, I'm here for you, do you pay any attention to that? Say, so where's here? You know, when I need you, where's here going to be? No, you see a need and you meet the need. That means I'm here for you. When people have a death in the family, our church makes a real effort to take care of everything that they possibly could need. If they need a ride, we are there to give them a ride. If they need food, we don't ask. Do you need food? No, you just do it. Because you know they're going to need food. You know they're going to stop eating for a week. Now, I'll pick on you, Jenny. You would stop eating for a week, wouldn't you? Easily. And if somebody brought you food, you might eat it. You might not. But if they didn't bring you food, you're not going to eat, are you? And I'm not picking on you, but that's true, isn't it? It is. Does she need to eat? Desperately. When she's at the lowest part in her life and doesn't feel like eating and certainly is not going to cook, isn't going to go to the store. If she has any food, it's been in the refrigerator for a week. That is what showing the love of Christ is. Say, you got this need and I'm going to meet it because the Lord Jesus told me to. What to do with it. Don't go to tell people, I have extra, I don't know what to do with it. No, here, this was a blessing to me, and here, you have it. Folks, look for opportunities. Being an encourager doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. Finding someone that has a need, and even farther than that, in the morning, say, God, who is it today that you need for me to encourage? Who is it today that you need me to help? Who is it? I don't know who it is. I can go through my list and I'll figure it. No, I don't want to figure it out. It has to be who the Lord wants you to take care of. I could find probably 100 people in the next hour that I could find. You look like you need a sandwich. You think that would be hard to do? We'll go down to Burger King. I don't know why you go to Burger King. Maybe you like Burger King. Go down to Burger King and buy 30 hamburgers there and just go down the street and look for people who look like they need a hamburger. Or do you just wait on the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do what you need done today. Not what I want to do. I want to do what you want done with my life today. And when that person comes across and they need 30 hamburgers. Oh, I've got 30 hamburgers here. Why would anybody need 30 hamburgers from Burger King? I haven't the vaguest idea, but you know what I mean. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father,